Good day to you and welcome back to Luke the Trader. Today we have CEO David Austin here for a little interview. So,
Hey,
hey
good
David.
morning. Good evening, your time.
Yeah, so could you just please introduce yourself really quickly and then we'll move on to
I'm
the
David
questions.
Austin. I'm the CEO and president of Colonial Coal, a publicly traded company in Canada. We're a coking coal company that was founded about 15 years ago. And that brings you more or less up to speed.
So then let us just start with the first question, and that would be how many bidders do we have currently, and can you provide insight as to what stage they're in currently?
Well, we've had a couple more, and we, in fact, in another hour, we'll go up by another one. Now we got their copies of their NDAs back yesterday, but it will be one of their first calls tomorrow. I would say they're probably the only one that's possibly going to have to do some kind of due diligence. The others have more or less have all done it. We had a major Indian group that finished last week. We're expecting them back in this week. So we're probably very close to 20 NDAs signed with major corporations.
So we can safely assume that nearly all of them are past the due diligence
Yeah,
stage.
except for the one that I'm talking to at 9 o'clock this morning, and I don't know what stage they're at. And in all honesty, the paperwork they've sent us is all legal. We know who the lawyers are. We know what the law firm is. We just don't know who what client they're representing. It's quite possible that they might need to do due diligence on the property, or they might not. We won't know that for another hour.
And sort of, can you give a rough feeling as to who is currently leading the pack and what sort of the competitive tension is currently in the bidding process?
Well, that's a bit like a horse race where one minute one horse is slightly ahead, and they keep changing. I would say right at the moment the American companies are ahead, but it really depends on what you consider an American company, because some of these companies, they have their head office in Switzerland, or they have a head office somewhere else, but they're also right at the moment they have an office right here in Vancouver, so it. Yeah, I'd say they're more known for being an American company, but in reality they're a multinational. I'd say they're in the lead at the moment.
And now, in regards to the American group, what sort of steps are needed for the trigger to be pulled, let's say, or how many steps or how far are they in the process, really?
From my point of view, they don't need any more steps. They could put an offer in tomorrow. It depends on what they're looking for, and the effect it has on them, because their relationship on other deals that are going on has an effect on us. We have an effect on them. So, but they could put an offer on the table tomorrow, and we'd have to see what we want to do with it.
And why would just for any colonial investor who's been here for years and has been waiting a long time, they're sort of starting to question sort of why would let's say 2024 be any different than the preceding years for Colonial?
I think because you're starting to see all these transactions taking place, like the Minco transaction with Glencore. It's in another transactions. Not all these transactions are taking place instantaneously. They've got the Whitehaven deal was being worked on for several years, but they're now actually concluding. The Teck deal, by far was not necessarily the most complicated arrangement in Canada, but it's now concluded quicker than everybody expected. I would suspect that it's either going to probably it could conclude. Let's say could conclude the end of May, early June. We're hearing that it is going to close quicker. It is very helpful to us because that took a major thing off the table. It also established a whole bunch of people who are now were looking at the tech transaction, who were unsuccessful in that transaction, it now had moved them over to us.
So it certainly helped you to accelerate.
It's accelerated everybody's process because it took that big thing off the table. Now you've got to remember the kind of an irony that Glencore, when they actually wanted to take over all the tech, but they're actually only taking over the coal side of the tech. You have to look at it from my point of view, which is, you know, kind of rosy colored glasses, but obviously they thought the most valuable thing in tech's portfolio was coal. And in actual fact, I totally agree. I think the most valuable thing and one of the most valuable commodities over the next year or two is going to be coal. And with that, that's where it's been, you know, beneficial to us. I think we'll begin to see it a bit more with more and more people focusing on us. Like, for instance, the group that just left from India, they have a presence in North America already. They have a presence in Canada already. But they were on the sidelines or part of the group that was looking at tech. Now that tech's off the table, now they have to decide where their future is.
And since we talked about accelerating the process, would you, let's say, just a symbolic number, let's say, would you accept a starting bid of $1 per ton to get things moving? And also, there's currently sort of the notion of some people that it seems that you're more or less waiting for things to play out your way. Is this also the feeling you have currently, or is there more to it?
I don't even think that way, to be honest. I go with what I need to do. You know, for instance, what I'm doing right now today, I was hoping to have a day off. But that's not really what happens. You know, things
I happen.
and things have to be moderated. Like, for instance, the call that's coming up shortly with a new group. You know, I if it turns out they're going to be in town this week, well, you know, then the plans change accordingly. Then the group that we were in town with this week are a very, very, very big group. You know, they're known for, let's say, being the Americans especially. They do things at a slightly quicker pace than, let's say, the Japanese or the Koreans or the Chinese or the Indians. You know, which isn't really particularly hard to do, to be honest.
And there's certainly also not the language barrier, right? Like with China, let's say, or India.
Yeah, that's a good way of phrasing it. But I do calls from India, and I actually need an interpreter to say, and they're actually speaking English. It's one of the biggest challenges we have is even with the Chinese documentation that we send back to each other. You know, we've had three different interpretations on the same letter. You know, the three people who were all qualified all give me their opinion on what was being said, and I'm going, wow, you know, that's so we have to try and get it down to, and I've been very fortunate. Mm-hmm. Darian, who is one of our bankers, is Chinese, and Darian speaks really good English, so he kind of breaks it down. But we've been having the same problem with the Chinese group for quite some time. The interesting thing that's happened is now there is another Chinese group that's actually come into the transaction, which is actually helping us because it's putting more pressure on the first group, and the first group is not happy that the second group has now come in. You know, which I'm going to try and use to my advantage, but I also very much like the first group. They have the potential to do exactly what we want to do to create an exit strategy, and they have the money. And so I'm going to keep, without being too blunt, I'm going to keep working with them the best I can, because it's really my job to keep everybody at the table to try and get the best possible bidding system that we can get with the most powerful people at the table.
Are they a completely new group, or let's say they were all in together and they just split apart, or is it really just a completely new group?
I don't think I can answer that one just yet.
Mm-hmm. And since we're sort of talking about all these hurdles you have to overcome at the table, for example, how high of an impact can you have, let's say, to the point that you can push potential suitors to want to pull the trigger, let's say?
We're actually working on that right now. We think we've got just about as much need to start telling the bankers, and the bankers are actually working with us on putting a timeline together that we can force the timeline. Now, what I wanted to do was I wanted the companies to force the timeline rather than me force it. But it looks like we might be getting there in either case.
So there's both the pressure from the companies and yourself to say, okay, that's a day, just a symbolic day where you have to get this far and so on.
Can I answer it my way rather than your way? Rather than answering the question your way, sorry. The bankers are now starting to see what they think is an avenue for them to put a time frame together. And I'm pleased about that, because that's what I've been trying to get the bankers to look at for a while, is what do we need to get in place to trigger, and how forceful do we have to be, or how blunt do we have to be to the clients and just say, listen, if you're not ready, get ready. And if you're not going to get ready, then step out of the way and we'll go with the ones that are ready.
And in regards to this, can you sort of lay out sort of the next few weeks in terms of meetings or perhaps traveling?
Well, my traveling plans keep getting screwed up by people who I'm supposed to go to meet end up coming here. I'm okay with that, because quite frankly, it makes my life a lot easier if they keep arriving, because when you're here, we can tick boxes an awful lot quicker. If you're looking to have a legal diligence and you want to go through the lawyers are here. It takes me 2 minutes to arrange for you to go and look at the documentation. If you need the political coverage, we can get you that. And if you need to do a site visit, which we've been very lucky that but we could right now, I'm not sure, but right at the moment in Vancouver, we're going to hit somewhere like 18, 19 degrees today. So our temperature has gone up considerably. So if you wish to do a site visit today, it would be no problem at all. We could do a site visit. We could get you up there and back in a day if we had to. That, as it is, the last three companies have all decided to hire a local group that's a knowledge of the properties, and ask them to do the due diligence on the properties and save us and them doing a site visit. It's worked out remarkably well. I wish everybody had done this in the past. They pick a tab and it saves me, it saves John going up on the property. I try not to. It's cold up there. During the summer, it's not bad, but during the winter, who cares?
Mm-hmm. So it's also helping you again to sort of speed things up with the different suitors that you have.
It helped considerably, to be honest. Yeah, the last three times, they've actually hired companies to do the due diligence, to do the site visits, or they've hired or paid for a report to be done that saves them. Because all they're really doing is saying that the license that we have, that's where the licenses are. If you go up there 3 weeks ago, you'll be standing on snow. Right now, you You can actually see something, but it's still not going to be too much that you can see, but you, at least you know that the properties and the area in line with the what we're telling you.
Let's say in the process, since we've only talked about sort of the positive sides, is there sort of a negative side or something that is holding us back currently? And if there is something, can you please shed light on that?
The biggest problem we have is political. You know, and unfortunately, an awful lot of it is to do with our Prime Minister Trudeau. He seems to have a gift of taking his foot and putting it in his own mouth and then kicking us up the ass with the same foot. And it's really, you know, really annoying because he interfered on some properties on over on the Alberta side, which is the Riversdale and Grassy properties. And that kind of upset the First Nations. You know, I've been dealing with First Nations. I've got a meeting with First Nations this week because, you know, the First Nations have got a lot of influence on what we do on our properties. But it's also very beneficial to them that we succeed. You know, if we don't succeed, there's absolutely no benefit at all to anybody. They need the jobs. We need to help them achieve success, and we've been very lucky in the past of helping the First Nations get success in the area. The lumber business in our area has been devastated by pine beetles and fires and everything else. So most of the jobs that are going to be created in our area are going to be created by us. So the First Nations benefit the most out of that because that's the people who are going to get employed the most is going to be the First Nations. Trudeau opening his mouth sets us back because we then have to wait for the courts to overrule what he did. Now the courts have now done that, and now it upsets the potential bidders because if you buy us out, and let's say at $1 a ton as a starting bid, you know that's basically $1 billion Canadian. On top of that, you know, to take Huguenot into production, you're looking around $450 million. And to take flatbed into production, you're looking at around $450 million. So let's just round that up to $1 billion. So this transaction is a $2 billion transaction one way or the other. You know, you don't want the government screwing you around. You know, so you want to put the check in place. You want to make sure that you're going to get for the first bit, which is your $1 billion acquisition of us, you don't want to be putting $1 billion in and find out that Trudeau is going to make another comment that's going to delay things or possibly make your property valueless. That's, you know, obviously an important decision, and it's important that we get that taken care of. Now, we've been a little bit lucky over the last month. Premier Eby, our premier who runs this province, has come, you know, and several times now supported coal companies. He's done it publicly. He's done it in front of the TV cameras. And it's been very, very helpful because now the government, you know, with people coming in to see us, they don't need for me to set up a government meeting for them. They can watch the video themselves that he did. And our previous premier has actually joined the board of Elk Valley Coal. So we've got the previous premier on the board of Elk Valley Coal and the new premier supporting coal. So we've got a history of the last three premiers going back to Premier Christy Clark. So the last three premiers in a row have all said the same thing, that coal is part of our future going forwards for the next 20 or 30 years.
So it seems like even the politics go sort of both ways, either being very positive to us, like the premier or Trudeau in this
case. Especially in the last, let's say the last 3 to 6 weeks, yes. A lot of that's been cleared up in a way that I don't have to arrange government meetings anymore. They didn't get asked. The last two groups that came in did not ask for government assurances. They already had that from what their own research had done.
Mm-hmm. And is there sort of any last remarks you want to give or something that you want to mention?
Yeah, I'm very pleased with what's been going on with the new groups that come in. It's they've engaged their own bankers and you know, we're getting things done with their bankers' help and with my own bankers' help now. I'd be happy when the bankers take over more of my role. Now, I know that 90% of everything that's going to be done is still going to be me, but it's very helpful for bankers getting involved because, you know, and it's going to sound like a weird thing to say, but when bankers smell money, they become more efficient.
Yeah, so, and thanks for the interview, David, and it was nice talking to you, and for next time, I guess.
Cheers.